Discovering Our Past is a history website developed as part of the College of Charleston's 250th anniversary. For more stories, audio recordings, and images, please visit discovering.cfc.edu. A History of the College's Land. The history of the campus land of the College of Charleston is a microcosm of the history of the city. The peninsula was home to Native Americans long before European settlers arrived in 1670. Indigenous tribes included the Wando and the Itiwan, and their relations with the newcomers started out equitably, but too soon the sad tragedy of losses through enslavement, conflict, and disease played out here as elsewhere in this country. No one owned the lands until they were claimed by England's King Charles II, who granted them to the Lord's proprietors, who, in turn, granted them to the settlers. The campus area was about a half a mile or so beyond the walled limits of Charlestown. Land, now the campus, was first granted to Henry Hughes in the 1670s, and it passed to John Cumming. In 1698, a part of that parcel, containing the core of a campus, was conveyed by Cumming's widow, Afra Harleston Cumming, to the Pinckney family. Cumming Street, which runs through campus, and Harleston Village, just west of it, reflect the names of these early owners. In 1724, a Pinckney heir sold some of this land to the commissioners of the Free School for public education, a destiny fulfilled with the college's founding. The large parcel was bounded to the north by what is now Calhoun Street, and to the south, south of present-day George Street, on a tract donated by Afra Harleston Cumming to St. Philip's Anglican Church. This gave rise to other street names nearby, St. Philip and Glebe, the latter word meaning property belonging to a church. Some of the first structures erected here in colonial times were wooden barracks, soon replaced by two brick barracks that were used in the American Revolution by the 2nd South Carolina Regiment, commanded by William Moultrie. Long gone, they once stood in what is now the Cistern Yard. The college's first president, Bishop Robert Smith, who lived nearby, was not just a clergyman, but a plantation owner whose wealth came from enslaved people who worked his land. Those who endowed the college were slave owners, too, like Benjamin Smith, the first contributor to the college, and Miles Bruton, a slave trader. President Smith, grown rich through the labor of the more than 200 human beings he owned, could afford to advance the struggling college funds to convert the barracks for classrooms. He also billed the college for work his enslaved people did for the institution. To pay off those debts after his death, the college trustees cut Green Street, now the pedestrian mall Greenway, through its lands, attempting to rent lots along it. College Street was cut through the area, intersecting Green Street. So now, the original parcel consisted of four blocks roughly the same size. In 1817, the college was forced to sell most of its land to satisfy the debt, so now it occupied only one of those four blocks, bounded by George, College, Green, and St. Philip's Streets. The city eventually grew up around the campus. Men and women, white and black, free and enslaved, many of whom could not attend the school, surrounded the small college whose student body consisted mostly of the sons, no daughters, of the white slave-owning elite. As the college grew and eventually became state-supported in the 20th century, it began to acquire more of the surrounding property, tearing down some of the structures but preserving and adapting many more. Today, the College of Charleston now includes the approximate parcel it possessed at its founding, with additions. The campus now extends north of Calhoun Street, beyond St. Philip and Cumming Streets, and as far south as Wentworth Street. There are other non-contiguous college lands on the peninsula and others across both the Ashley and Cooper Rivers. With over 30 acres in their downtown campus, there are innumerable sites to visit, all with stories of their own.